Our sermon today kind of picks up from what we heard from the elders' reading. It's based on Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. They, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Thank you, God, for the cool time of the evening when we can rest and relax and remain with you. We've reached the point of evening as we examine the Zia symbol, a powerful portrayal of the inevitable march of time, seasons, and years. I think evening is one of my favorite times of the day. It's the time when everything winds down and I get to look back on the day. It's cooler, perfect for taking a walk with Winston, and then one by one the stars come out, making evening magical. I suspect evening was once one of God's favorite times of the day, too. It was the time when God came to visit the human creations in the Garden of Eden. I've always loved the image inspired by the verses we heard, God coming into the garden with divine anticipation to spend some quality time with Adam and Eve. I like to think God had spent the day putting the world to rights, adding some finishing touches, a volcano here, a river there, maybe creating some new creatures for the ocean and the sky. And when the day was done, although evening here is shown to be the start of the day, not the end, God looked forward to spending time with Adam and Eve, who are not yet named, just chilling with them, listening to them discuss their day, talking about what he had done, answering their questions, just God and the ancestors hanging out together. I get the feeling this was something that God absolutely enjoyed doing. It sounds like this was something the three of them did every day, a habit they had begun after the man and the woman were formed. It sounds as though God loved walking through the garden, which was undoubtedly beautiful beyond compare with the human creatures, checking out the flowers and the trees and the plants, smiling at the animals and the birds that God had also created, and being able to touch them and having the birds fly onto their shoulders, because at that time everything was perfect. There was intense harmony with all the creation, and human and beast were not afraid of one another. Would you believe that there is still some lively discussion as to exactly how soon after their creation Adam and Eve fell? One timeline says they were created in the morning, ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil at noon, and by nightfall, they were out of there. This scenario holds that everything from creation to fall took place in a single day, but I'm not so sure about that. Surely there was more than just one day of enjoyment in Eden, and that's why we try so hard to get back to the garden to pick up where we left off so abruptly. As I said, the scripture makes it seem as though God and the human beings had been meeting in the garden in the evening for a while. It seems as though it was the best time of day for all of us. And then it happened. We won't get into the blame game here. Eve blamed the snake for tempting her. Adam blamed her and God for his own foolishness. He said, "This woman whom you gave me, God, gave me the fruit and I ate." They threw each other under the bus, and there weren't even any buses back then. When God asked Adam, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" I imagine God not yelling at them with all due wrath, but standing there with the holy hands on the holy hips, waiting for their reply. I can imagine God's deep disappointment in them, and it must have shown in God's voice and on God's face. The one thing God asked them not to do, they went ahead and did it. Did God know they were going to eat the fruit? Why would God put the tempting tree in the garden in the first place? And why did God create the snake at all if God knew it was going to be the human's downfall? Those are really deep questions that, like the timeline of the fall, still inspire discussion and debate. Disobeying was hard enough, but what made it worse was they hid from God. All of a sudden, with their eyes opened, they saw that they were naked, and for some reason they were ashamed of themselves, ashamed of these bodies God had given them, the bodies God had crafted with such care and wisdom. The human body is amazing. It's a marvelous machine with many different functions and abilities, and it's beautiful. I don't believe God intended for them or us to be ashamed of their or our bodies. God had created them and us lovely and lively and different, and God wanted them and us to celebrate their loveliness and liveliness and difference, and ours too. God knew all about them and their bodies, but for some reason they felt they had to hide themselves from the very God who had made them, as if they could. I remember as a little girl digging into the farthest, darkest corner of my bedroom closet. I plopped down on a pile of stuffed animals, and for good measure, I threw a blanket over my head, and I thought, there, God can't see me now. But of course, God could see me there. There's no hiding from God. Adam and Eve's eyes were opened. They not only saw that they were naked, but they also saw they were insignificant. Perhaps they had begun to think they were equal to God, on a par with God, because after all, God had made them in God's own image, and they were noticeably different from all the other creatures in the garden. Perhaps they were thinking they could be creators like God, or maybe when God told them to have dominion over all the animals and birds, they thought they were in charge of everything, just like God. That's an idea the serpent latched onto. When the woman told it they were not allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the serpent hissed at her, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of that tree, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman didn't know what wisdom was. Well, for sure, it was much more than knowing you were naked. The woman didn't know what evil was. The woman didn't know what dying meant either. Nothing died in the Garden of Eden. Death was not a deterrent to her because she didn't know what death was. She was not afraid, and so she ate, and Adam ate. But to their disappointment and their detriment, they were nothing like God now, because they could and they would die, whereas God was and is eternal. They had an inkling of eternity, but they gave it up for the momentary satisfaction of eating that forbidden fruit. Knowing just how ungodlike they were, how vulnerable they were, how insignificant they were, the two of them hid when God came to the garden for their nightly rendezvous. When God called out, "Where are you?" it wasn't because God didn't know where they were or what they had done. God was giving them a chance to confess what they had done, to tell the truth God already knew. Maybe an honest answer would have changed the trajectory the first parents put themselves and all their descendants on. God knew what they had done. God had watched them do it. They may have thought God was elsewhere, attending to godly things, but God is everywhere, and God knows everything. God's heart broke as they disobeyed and then tried to cover up their sin, as if it was no big deal, as if they couldn't help themselves. You know, the devil made me do it. When Adam said, "I heard your voice, Lord God, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself," that broke God's heart even more. The last thing God wanted was for Adam and Eve to be afraid of him, to hide themselves from God, to be wary of God's loving but holy presence, to ruin the camaraderie they shared, to spoil that evening time of togetherness and restfulness that they had been enjoying. They couldn't bear to be in God's company anymore. They felt they were unworthy of the attention God wanted to lavish on them. They didn't want God watching them so closely all the time. They had broken the bond God had forged with them, and yet God went in search of them. God wasn't ready to give up on them, not just yet. What did God's voice sound like as God called to them? Did God sing to them a new song each night, a song of love and creation and joy? Did God's voice sound like a rumble of thunder tumbling through the garden, fierce and gentle at the same time? Or was God's voice like the voice Elijah heard, a still, small voice they had to really turn their ears to catch the whisper of the evening breeze through the trees? This was the world's first game of hide and seek. before, Adam and Eve would have run in the direction of that beloved and loving voice, wanting nothing more than to be with God again. Like when you're a kid and your father finally comes home from work, maybe with a treat for you. Now, the familiar voice made them afraid, and they hid, perhaps even covering their ears so they couldn't hear God's voice and have to face the consequences of what they had done. It was evening, but it was the dawn of guilt and alienation from God. It was evening, and soon the sun set on the easy, beautiful relationship God once had had with Adam and Eve. Even though all throughout the generations, God's human creation have disappointed God by hiding from God, by disobeying God, and by thinking more highly of ourselves than we should, God still searches for us. God still calls to us to join him on an evening walk in the garden. God wants us to put away our fear and our pride and just walk humbly by God's side, to not hide ourselves from the very presence of the Lord God, but to run to God with joy and anticipation. We should be delighted and awed and humbled to know we are invited to come into God's presence as insignificant and vulnerable and unworthy and deceptive as we are. We should turn a deaf ear to all the hissing and the hatred of the serpents that try to slither in between us and God and destroy our fellowship with God. We should listen for the sound of God's voice calling to us to obey, to listen, to learn, to recreate the perfect relationship God intended for us to share with God for all time. One day we'll walk in God's garden again. One day we'll prick up our ears and we hear God's voice calling us by name, inviting us to spend eternity with God. And we will return to God without fear, with nothing and no reason to hide, to walk forever in step with the God who has searched for us and found us and welcomed us home. Let us pray. God, we long to go back to the evening when we walk beside you with no fear, enjoying a sacred saunter with you. Forgive us for the times we have disobeyed your voice or even covered our ears so we didn't hear you calling us by name. Forgive us for ever thinking we could hide from you. Bring us back to the garden, forgiven and accepted and eternally loved. Amen.